I'd like to thank you for coming today. You're in the House Veterans Affairs Full Committee Room. On July 23rd, we held a hearing here, a full committee hearing, with regard to the budgeting process for the VA budget to understand it more. And Dr. Perlin testified on behalf of the Veterans Administration, some of which we have learned is very important. I have to talk mechanics here for a second, so then we can understand numbers, and then you can understand the politics. In the end, this will be a discussion of how policy really is also good politics, but more importantly, how we serve our veterans to maintain the quality of service to them and equally the access. The budgetary process for which we're learning, and we will continue to have a working relationship to better this process, is that the 05 budget was put together in 02. So when you think about this, the health model that is used, it's a model that's used in the private sector on an annual basis. The VA takes that model and uses its projections and utilizes it between 2.5 to 3.5 year in projections. Therefore, if you get the assumptions wrong, you have variances and the result is not as accurate. Now, they have been pretty fortunate here over the years getting it right, but this year it was not, and it was off. But they're not the only ones that use this model and are off on their number. So was DOD. DOD in 05 was off $680 million for the military health delivery system. And the VA also has a shortfall with regard to their 05 budget. So we're going to continue this working relationship in getting it right. So when you think about, take yourself back to 2002. We weren't even in war with Iraq in 2002. So here we were assembling a budget for 05, and we have ourselves in 05 in extended contingencies in the war on terror, not only OEF and OIF, but also a surge in senior veteran population, along with some personnel costs, but also we have some challenges with regard to transfer of patients from DOD to VA. So the Secretary and Dr. Perlin have some present challenges. He's working with Chairman Walsh and myself and the Senate on the issue, and we'll continue to work on that. We're thankful for their cooperation, and you've been very open with us ever since you learned about these numbers from your midterm review of your budget. And so, Mr. Secretary, we appreciate your leadership, and I turn it over to you.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I also want to thank Chairman Walsh and all of your House colleagues and all the members of the Congress on both sides who have been so responsive and attentive and sincerely concerned about the condition of our health care delivery system at the VA for our veterans. We have a world-class health care system. It's so acclaimed by recently the Annals of Internal Medicine and many others, and we need to continue that because that's what our veterans have grown accustomed to receiving, and that's what they deserve. And that also is one of the reasons that we're seeing this surge in demand for our healthcare services. As I've testified yesterday to Chairman Walsh's committee, our estimates based on a model of 2002 had a certain growth element, but we've exceeded that by over 100% in actuality for 05. And thus, if we were in a business, we have a good problem. And that's the way we see it because we have more and more veterans wanting to be served by our outstanding hospitals throughout our country. But, of course, that is necessitating more funding. And so I'm very appreciative of the Congress and their responsiveness. And it just manifests their continued concern for the priority that we have in this country for our veterans, for those that have answered the call, gone wherever we've asked them, and served us in the interest of preserving our way of life and our freedom. And today we have young men and women doing the same thing in two combat zones in Afghanistan and Iraq. They are returning now in rather large numbers, including reserve component forces, which make up 40% of the total. And they have a new eligibility, most appropriately, which is that they too can make themselves available for VA health services. And so we're seeing an increase in those numbers as well, although the majority of that unanticipated increase has come from veterans of other eras. So again, I want to thank you, Chairman Boyer, Chairman Walsh, and I want to express my thanks to all members of the Congress for your timely responsiveness and the help that I anticipate will be forthcoming. So to make sure that we have the capabilities to serve our veterans and to thus not be making internal transfers of some funds from maintenance and acquisition to health care delivery and our reserve that we were also going to use to get through the end of this fiscal year. Thank you.
Earlier, I mentioned that the hearing was July 23rd. It was June 23rd, so it was just last week. The Secretary and Dr. Perlin have been very busy, not only testifying before this committee, but also with Chairman Walsh's committee and in the Senate. And please understand that when they came forward and they told us about the shortfall with regard to 05, the Secretary and Dr. Perlin are doing everything they possibly can to figure out how they can make it work through the end of the year. So they talked to us about their workaround solutions. Some of us in the House in particular and in the Senate are being uncomfortable with some of the challenges and the movement of dollars in the accounts. And so we want to be responsive to the Secretary and hopeful they'll work through the night and be able to give us a particular number. Let me give it to Chairman Walsh right now.
Thank you, Steve. Ms. Secretary, thank you for coming back up today. It's been a rough couple of days, I think, for everyone. It's a lot rougher on our soldiers, and that comforts us. Congress, I think, has responded to this shortfall. And I know it's clear to me from my members, I know it's clear to Chairman Boyer from his members, that the Congress does not want to work around this. We want to provide the Veterans Administration with the resources that they need to complete their work in 05 and also in 06. And the Secretary and Dr. Perlin have shown us that they have an answer to this shortfall, but I think it's been made clear to him and certainly to the Speaker, leadership in the Senate, and the leadership of the House Veterans Legislative Committees that Congress needs to provide those additional resources now. We're at war, and it's essential that we respond to this need of the Veterans Administration and to our veterans to not only send a signal to our veterans, but also to our future veterans, those who are in the field in Iraq and Afghanistan, doing the hard work that the President spoke about last night. And so I stand squarely with Congressman Boyer, with Secretary Nicholson, with the White House and the Senate, in saying we will find the resources and we will do it soon. And we appreciate the Secretary's response to this, and we look forward to working with exactly the right number, the right amount of dollars to complete our work in 05. Thank you.
We also extend our gratitude to the Veterans Service Organizations. They've been tremendous advocates and partners in our advocacy on the concerns we have for veterans. And over the last month, not only I know the Secretary, you hold breakfasts with them, and so have I, and they've been very helpful. And so as this broke, they played a very meaningful role in how we approach this shortfall. Let me now turn it over to Henry Brown of South Carolina. He chairs the Health Subcommittee on the House Veterans Affairs Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and certainly a pleasure to be with you and Chairman Walsh and the Secretary. And Undersecretary for Health. Veterans is a major concern of mine as Chairman of the Health Committee, and we absolutely have committed to do whatever is necessary to support the Secretary that we have the best health care for our returning veterans from Iraq and Afghanistan and other parts of this world to meet their physical needs and meet their mental needs. I know that we're trying to work through the numbers today. We're going to have a public hearing tomorrow. The Secretary will come, and I hope by then we'll have some number that we can give to the appropriators to be able to make the the numbers right to be sure that we're assured with the quality of health care that our veterans so deserve. And thank you, Mr. Secretary, for being here today and for Ms. Chairman for you holding this press conference. And we look forward to the resolve of this major issue. Thank you.
We'll open it up for any questions that you may have. Yes, that's the number that we see that we need to get through the end of this fiscal year or the next 3 months. The legislating of that, you know, I'll leave the response of that up to the legislators who are here. But I'm very grateful for the discussions and the hearings that we've had on this. It's very important, and I will say also that I think the veterans of our country are also very grateful to see the kind of responsiveness and leadership that we have here around their interest and the concern that they're going to continue to get this great health care that we're providing.
With regard to an exact number, I became the chairman of the Veterans Affairs Committee for a particular reason, and that is to get the budget numbers right. The veterans budget numbers, everybody likes to throw numbers around this town. American Legion has a number. The Independent Budget has a number. The Veterans Administration has a number. The Democratic Conference may have a number. The Republicans may have a number. OMB may have a number. Let's find out what the right number is. So we are doing our work. I call it the forensics in the budgetary process so we get out of this business of doing supplementals. And let's get the budgeting process right. So I don't want any estimates of about a billion, or it ought to be this, or it ought to be that. Chairman Walsh and I want to know what the exact number is. Presently, what we do know is from Dr. Perlin's testimony before this committee was that he was going to take $380 million out of the reserve fund, which had approximately $400 million, and we're also taking $600 million out of a capital account and maintenance. But then there was also testimony from the Secretary, the number was 380, so it's 5 million off. We just want to make sure that they get an exact number to us. The Secretary will have his opportunity to do that in public testimony tomorrow morning. Yes? You know, I apologize. You wanted follow-up from the first question, then I'll go right. Same thing? Well, the Senate's on a timeline, and we're on a timeline. We're all complementary. I know the Senate they have an idea. We were hoping that they were going to be here today to show that we're all working together. Their idea is, if they're not particularly comfortable on an exact number, that they're proposing to do this $1.5 billion and then give authorization that what monies the Secretary doesn't use in 05 carry over to 06 as we then begin to work on what is the proper number for 06. So at some point in time, I would anticipate in working with the Secretary, working with the leadership of Chairman Walsh and Chairman Brown and the Senate and OMB, that at some point in time, there's going to be a budget amendment. He's going to have to come to us with regard to 06. I don't know what exactly it is. What I'm saying right now is numbers are being thrown all around. And we're not going to take action until we know what exact numbers are. It could be.
Yeah, I mean, the shortfall is in the range for 05, is in the range of $1 billion. But the based on the estimates for 06, it could be more than $1 billion for 06 also, not just a total of 1.5. That's correct.
Could be.
But, you know, given the fact that when the House and the Senate does a supplemental appropriation, there's always the possibility that this bill could grow. So we want to try to be as accurate and as factual as possible in the number, and we're confident that that the Secretary can provide Congressman Bleier's committee that tomorrow.
Yes, sir?
Well, one thing what we've done is that we've had a trust in the budgetary process. When I extended my compliments to the veteran service organizations is when we examined the budgetary processes, when the independent budget, how they put the veteran service organizations come together and they create what they call an independent budget, there probably aren't too many private sector health firms would hire how they put together, utilize their modeling. I'm being very honest, but let me just say this. Their best guess was about as accurate as I've seen. So we want to make sure that when we employ these actuarialists and this health model that's being utilized, we remove the stressors from that model so we can be very accurate. So the cause and the advocacy to provide the best quality care for our veterans is all the same. No one owns the cornerstone of that. So we are all together in complement.
Well, regarding 05, this will be, as I believe it will take shape, it would be a supplemental appropriation, so it would not go against the cap. 06, we don't have a legislative solution to that yet, but I anticipate that we will, but I can't anticipate what the impact would be on the cap for 06. For 06? Well, I think we'll have a number for 05 tomorrow. I'm not sure about 06. We have, obviously, we have time on 06. 05 is, time is precious.
Hopefully, 06 gets worked out by September. Yes.
You know, it depends, I suppose, on your definition of emergency. We're about to enter the final quarter of the fiscal year that we're talking about. We have the money available, and we are continuing to provide the service. So that is not an emergency condition. But there are maintenance items and equipment acquisition that we had planned and so forth, which we'll now be able to go forward with, which otherwise would have and is being diverted into medical care. No, I wouldn't call those emergency, urgent needs, those maintenance items, but important.
I think it's clear that Congress did not want the Veterans Administration to defer these capital improvements, whatever they are, whether it's maintenance, it's new computers, it's MRI machines, whatever it is. We're at a time of war, and we don't want to be diverting these expenses till later.
Aren't they being diverted right now? Why are there things that you should be doing that we're not doing at this moment?
I can't answer that question, but this certainly would preclude, if in fact there are diversions of payments, it would preclude that from here until the end of the year.
I clarify that, yes, some of them planned for purchase have not been made, but now those purchases will go forward.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir?
Well, I will do that if you have time, because it's complex. And as the chairman alluded to earlier, the hard data that was used to build the 2005 budget came from usage data of 2002. Because of the lead times it takes to construct a budget here in this legislative process, for example, we are now working on the 07 budget, and the modeling data is being used off of the 04 actuals. so that when we get into 07 and to see where we are and how well we did, we're going to be reflecting back on what the situation was on 04. Well, as I testified yesterday, when the 05 budget that we're talking about now was put together, it was the 02 data was reflective, and Operation Iraqi Freedom was not even ongoing. So obviously, the world has changed. It's changed in several ways, not just by the fact that we're at war, but that's not unimportant. But there's also been an unanticipated increase in usage of the VA facilities by veterans of other eras. And I think it's because we are doing such a good job, and the word about that is getting around, and more veterans are taking advantage of that benefit that they have that's being provided by the great team of people we have around the country in the 185 medical centers and over 850 clinics that we have located throughout the country. Does that respond to your question?
Your mid-year review.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what put the budget together, and that's what was the basis for the request for the funding. Then we tracked this, and we got through the mid-year pretty much on plan, but then it has really started to deviate up, and that's where we saw that we were having an unanticipated delta that was not going to be funded by the amount that was requested and approved in this budget for health care. So we look at how we're going to cover this and get through the end of the fiscal year. One method internally would be to move some funds about, which we're authorized to do, and which any enterprise, by the way, doing $30 million of business to make a 3% adjustment in its business lines is would not be unusual for them to do that. And that was the way we were proceeding. But to do that, we're also going to have to defer maintenance and some acquisitions and use up the reserve carry forward that we had planned to go into 06 with.
Could I add to that? Just to clarify a little bit further, I think I'm right in this. In the testimony yesterday, the increase enrollees into VA coming back from Iraq is not anywhere near the whole piece of the puzzle. It's only, as I understand it, about 13% of the increase in cost. What is a major increase is prescription drugs. People are smart. If they can get their prescription drugs at a VA for a very low copay, they're going to do it. And that's a large part of this.
Well, the impact of it is on the budget. That delta, they were anticipating a 2.3% growth rate, and it came in it's at about 5.2%. Now that doesn't correlate in a linear way with spending, because you have a fixed base of operations, and you can handle more patients up to a certain amount, and that's why we were able to do so well as we were in the first half. But then it continued to pull away in the demand on our facilities.
Well, what we would hope to take as immediate action as possible. So We're anticipating that the Secretary and Dr. Perlin get, work this out, can let Chairman Brown, myself, and Chairman Walsh know, and then hopefully we can take immediate action. It would be wonderful if we could get something done prior to this July break. But, you know, this is a legislative town. We're hopeful that that can happen. And please recognize all of this. You were on cruise control, though you did your mid-annual budget review, and Dr. Perlin's testimony in this committee shared with us the present challenges, and they also then shared with us their in-house workaround solutions, of which Congress became more uncomfortable with, not only myself, but also Chairman Walsh and also the leadership in the Senate. And I'm pleased that the Secretary recognizes that and also is willing to work with us. And I'm sure we'll be thankful for the infusion of dollars for the rest of 05. We'll continue to work together with regard to a proposed budget amendment for 06. And we're going to make this budgetary process right. And also, I look forward to working with the Veterans Service Organizations. Thank you very much.
Thank you.